through that now, and now we get to the rewards of onboarding them and getting to know each other last year, and then taking the last year to film this, that Spiritless film that went through last year. So, that's really cool to see it come when a full day of filming for that 15-second spread, see how that come together with this guy was really cool. Daniel and Shane, because we've been around each other now for Daniel a couple of years, Shane a little over a year, and a couple of months of knowing that we were going to be doing this together as a story all year. So Shane and I made some big steps through last summer for our bear preparation, and then Daniel is a part of that now as well. So Daniel is, I guess, a bit of an anomaly. So this is it. I guess from what I know of. So. That's where seeing how he's driven the car. He's pretty good at driving by drafting when he happened to drive the car yet. So now at least he did get to make some runs, got through some cars, and then now we can drive ahead of the duels tomorrow. But the duels will be what he's going to learn the most. So whatever I can talk to him now about, it will talk to him 10 times more after the duel once he feels tight loose, start drafting, getting pushed, and then we can talk through kind of the real granular details of what it takes to be successful. I think we're at least successful in moving our line forward. We're saying we can talk about how to win. We think we can, but just how to move the line forward. So cool. Really just a hero, unfortunately, our mind. I've almost left the mind how well it plays professionally. I mean, it's just the one. The first 500 was an L1. And that was born in 92, so I wasn't, that was still rolling around with a four-year-old in the yard, it's just incredible, and got to meet him at Homestead last year, so that was cool, and he was just, blended right in with the team, and I didn't even know where I was there at the time, and then when they told us after, so that was cool, just have that experience of just shaking his hand and getting to know him, not knowing where he was there, and then he used a lot of my cockpit stuff, I guess, parts and pieces inside were similar styles and built, so I was happy to lend him some stuff. every week we've evolved that, and I like it a little bit better. It's more driver focused, so Shane and I drop them literally at the sides of the road, but we kind of think about things in a similar way. But we're just looking enough that he can call me out on my issues, and I can call him out on his. So, yeah, early morning swim sessions together is the name of the game for us. And I don't know, you know, what the end results will be each week, but I know that he helps. It's easy to see, right? It's easy to look at, and I can see it. He's helped me on road courses, and I hope to help him on ovals. transfer. For a big transfer, it definitely is. It's standing out of the box. It's a fair amount here of having the throw as low as you can. We're dealing in thousands of an inch to get it down on the rear stats, the rear stats. And get the score out of the air and all that, and still have a gravel kill. You know, we're going to raise it up for gravel. We can't be that rough. I can grab it, but only by myself, and I don't think it's not as fast when it's bouncing like that. The track's not where it was when I left back to replay, which I think was ahead of the 2011 season. So I've only driven on the replay. So I didn't get the full world track, which I guess ended in 2010. But it's not that rough. When I left it back, and understanding how those cars are built and set up, the track was a lot rougher then. We're still smoother, but it's getting rougher, but by no means is it what it was in 2010 and before. That was a one car special. Yeah. No, if it's safe for us to take that, we'll take it. If the risk is you can't give up a position to do it, but if you can't gain or lose any positions, then yeah, we'll go for it. We'll definitely work. Absolutely. Yeah. We'll do the run course, and then here, if you're playing a game or you're wrapped on, you'll play the game in the back of the field trying to time it right and get big runs. We used to do it for the metric when we were setting up to try to have a high score. I've done it, so. I think it's necessary. It's a question you're asking myself. No, I don't think that it's necessary, but hey, if somebody's happy, I'm happy. It's so much progress. Coming into it, we didn't know. Like, it was just like the Wild West, and you saw us just spinning around and crashing, and I don't think the throw is a terrible thing, to be honest. I think some of those early practice sessions and early races were just crazy to lap, and the broadcast almost couldn't keep up. Nobody could keep up there. There was so much happening. You had, champions the year before and race winners, like, in the back at the beginning of 22, and you definitely seen them figure it out. We've all figured it out. Some maybe more than others. So, I'm glad that I got to be a part of that, because that's a time in my career and in the school that where I was at back then, I remember, because it was weird. We're just crashing in a moment. That's crazy. Just to use a euro mine that I've left almost my whole life. You won his first 500 in 01, that was born in 92, so that wasn't a little fan, but I remember his name from early on. We were race fans, and we were races. That's what we did on the weekend. So I remember. It was pretty surreal last fall at Miami for him to be there with us, and I didn't know where he was at. There was a guy sitting next to me in the barrel, and I said, "No, I actually didn't recognize him at first. Just in a t-shirt and hat, and then." As soon as he clapped, I realized who it was, and I was like, oh my gosh, that while I was sitting in the window, like, that's awesome, and then he told me he lives in Miami, and all stuff, so, he's one of those guys that does not fit the bill of, they say you never meet your heroes. He's a hero man that I'm glad I got to meet. From an impact perspective, it's going to be more after, practice. I didn't get a chance to catch up with him yet before I came over here, but after the duel, he'll learn a lot. And we'll talk before the duel, but then after the duel, he'll been pushed, he'll push people, he'll get tight, loose, fat, black, blah, blah. And he'll learn a lot, and then we can talk about it. Well, he's done the trip a month ago because he had never felt the trip, so before the Talladega test, I guess. So, but he's by himself, so it's better once you've drafted it. That's what I'll figure out. Like, the best way to become a better race car driver is to race. And so once he races on Thursday night, it'll be better. What I did hope we helped him with was these similar styles and shape to me, so a lot of the inside the car settings and seat and a lot of the things are my rubber. So, he sat right in my seat, Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I wasn't ready. But I kept telling everybody, yeah, Tony Davis told me what he meant, like, what I was going to do. And it was a unique experience to run out three that weekend, so I had my mind pretty busy once we got to the track. I got sick that week, and my brother and I were doing a bunch of promotions, and the family was there helping me do all that Protection 9 promotion. That's what sponsored the race, so you'll see that Protection 9 news and stuff on the race boards over the years, and a big driving factor in my career, and I sponsored Route 3 of that weekend. So, yeah, I remember playing on track for practice and just being slow, and didn't have so much power. I didn't know how to put on the straightaway, and it wasn't driving good. And then for the race, I just kept crashing, and the crashing stuff coming out, and the way it cut to some lead laps. So, Phil Robinson was big on that, saving the equipment and not pushing it. And I teed up the radio. I remember I was behind Paul Menard, and he wasn't the lucky guy. Like, he was in the first car lap down, and I said, "Hey, I think I can pass him." And he said, "Well, if you can pass him, then pass him." Like, he said it better. He was, like, rapping. And I drove in. We were with Fisher Towers, so we were perfect with that. And passed him and got the free pass. And so that was a unique experience. We had to adjust the track throughout the time, so the biggest thing was just finishing 20th, and that was incredible moment. And one of the people texted me after that, but one of them was Justin Brooks, and he told me how special that was and what I just did to finish 20th, and he gave me some stat on how many first-time cup drivers have done that. It wasn't that many. That was cool, and it's something we looked back on, and I remember. Obviously, you have a fuel burning, so talking about saving fuel, and you see people that lead at the beginning of the stage, do not lead at the end of the stage, and it goes from stage 1, 2, and 3. So, balancing that with track position and safety versus keeping fuel in the tank, that's the biggest thing I can control. That is the single biggest thing. It's awesome. We put work into it. We prep. We have practice it. Simulators have practiced it in reality. Younger guys, some of our team guys with Zulich and Honeycutt, they do constant work to try to find kind of the little crumbs of water percentages and what we can do. So, part of the sim group that we continue to move the needle. In fact, that will track out some GM and yeah, we got some drivers just a couple years ago, so I get excited when they come to me and they're like, "We want you to try this in track because the young guy tried this and he found it." I'm like, "Well, I really want to go, that's cool." Yeah. They love Toyota. No secret about that. So I love how it runs, and I love, like, Road America, just how long the lap is and how many opportunities are to gain time, lose time, and you could mess up one card and then make another lap and vice versa. So, I've driven it virtually as I've done. And we'll get a peek at it next week ahead of Atlanta, but I've asked them, and we'll get a peek at it, but I won't be driving it. I won't be driving anything. Just go see it. And so, pretty much seconds for wrap. So, a third more wraps. I mean, it's going to keep us out of the time with the dirt. So, that's the main thing. That's what they wanted was keep us out of the dirt. So, think about that. And by me, it's reality. It's losing grip, and depending on the weather, I put it where it is. Can mean big hanging issues, big tight, big loose. Players getting in a bad spot, always, and not having the grip in the track with the trailers. But that we did the first year. Like the first year, once we got our car starting okay, then we just had so much grip we didn't know what to do with it. So, you see players sliding around. been doing it the first time he tested there ahead of the race in 22 and it's just it's wild. In my opinion, there's never been a Daytona 500 that's played out the same. And as we figure out his tires and the rules and everything that goes into racing in the Daytona 500, it's going to keep changing. Like the drivers are changing, the cars are evolving, drivers are evolving. They've all been different in my mind. Now, he changed ahead of my career, or his driver got started, with driver simulators, where the driver's involved in driving the simulator, not just a sim driver, a car, I guess, a virtual driver. When that got more realistic for the drivers, that was right when my career really took off. So in 2018, I was able to plug right into and drive the virtual rig that looked like I was at the track, and I've been on it ever since, and I live in that thing. It wears me out. It frustrates me. It makes me want to smash the projector and just, unplug it. But I know that's the secret. And that's the same secret. That's the work that I can do during the week to make Sundays better. And so I do whatever that takes. That's that song. Yeah. The cars are all the same. We all have the same chassis, same body, we have the same mechanical components. You can put them at different angles and different settings and different geometry, but it's technically we all have the same stuff. I guess the algorithm throws at me a lot every now and then. So, come across it. Not just the prep of watching the race back, watching the goals back, knowing the outcome. But I look at it from different driver's angles and their point of view, so I kind of look back at that kind of stuff and kind of get very self centered, I think, most race car drivers are. So, I think that if I had to put a number on it, well, I'm on my fingers and toes. It's going to make me cut in through there and make it with a checkered flag. That's what I want to do. I want to be pointing at the checkered flag with nobody in front of me. The right. So I'll just keep creeping closer. If we can make it 500 miles, then we've done what we can. A good night's sleep the night before, a couple nights before. There's no way to prepare. I mean, the G-forces and the radius of the turn and the way it plays out with the grip of the track and the banking, there's nothing I've ever felt that's like it. I mean, it feels like I don't know what it feels like. Wearing the brand, getting to be the next spokesperson for the brand, it's been such an iconic anchor in this sport for so long, longer than anybody, I guess. They've partnered with so many iconic teams and heroes and that they're in that are drop over drivers. The fact that they wanted me to be the next guy is incredible. And then, probably after last year, starting the process for the Super Bowl commercial that we just showed, but we found that last year was a great experience with Busch Fire out in the woods, and I get to go out in the woods and hang out and drink beer at the end of the bar. It's pretty cool. I felt the best and natural to me, so I don't have like a one bright, cool memory. It's just I'm living the literal dream of where I wanted to get to. you know what I mean? I don't think so. They like watermelon just right. What's an athlete? When I was a football player, I'm not a football athlete. I'm not a baseball athlete. I can't throw a baseball or anything. I'm a NASCAR driver athlete. So we're our own thing, and we tailor our gym sessions and our workouts and our mental and physical preparations around sitting in a race car for 4 hours or 3 hours. Like this 4 or 3 years ago, years ago, to sustain that and be close to 100% at the end. Is whenever we started that, like pull out the benchmark and the baseline and then try to end the race as close to that. But I don't do workouts with any other athlete does, and they don't do mine. I can't tell you all my secrets. Well, I found is the endurance side of it. So what helps me is long bike rides and long runs, free up environments. I mean, the crowds are just closed off. I remember when they first went to the windscreen halo in open wheel, but those guys were getting hurt because they were used to that airflow. We've been sealed off for the whole time. Sealed off, but we're purposely running better in because it's better, which has cooked us before. So, training and then long endurance. So I don't need to lift the heaviest weight one rep. I need to be able to lift the right amount of weight for 4 hours. Not more than 3 pounds. But I'm just, I guess I'm a smaller guy, so. But yeah. Except I was from 75, and I'm in 75. Speed limits not a suggestion, John. Start protecting your own. Use your mind.